He's the editor and chief, GoDucks.com. Multiple options on Twitter for the football team at Doug Football, for the many other sports he covers at GoDucks Mosley. Rob Mosley checks in. Rob, we always appreciate your time. Been a bit. So how are you and all of yours holding up during this madness of 2020?
Doing well. I mean, following all the vaccine news is really exciting. Feels like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. So in that regard, it feels like a optimistic time. Obviously, things aren't trending great the next few weeks. But, you know, if everybody just stays home, enjoys the holidays in small groups, feel like maybe by the spring we could have some normalcy set in. I was actually thinking about the reality of attending a Major League Baseball game at some point next summer. And that was pretty awesome.
Wow. Thinking that the light at the end of the tunnel isn't an oncoming freight train is
exactly
a good thought. One quick thought on men's hoops. When I heard they lost Will Richardson, I was like, wow, that's big. He was going to fill a leadership role, be a facilitator, and I thought it was obvious in the first game, but naturally, Dana Altman and his staff, they just figure things out. So whether it's Hardy, Amarui, or Duarte handling the ball, I think they've actually done a really nice job running the offense. What do you think?
Yeah, well, this team just, I think, profiles, this is exactly what Dana Altman wants in a team. And, you know, a bunch of guys that all are really versatile, you know, have good enough size, you know, to get to the basket, but also athletic enough to move around on the perimeter as well. So, you know, it's a bunch of 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", guys that can do a lot of different things. And so, yeah, you're not, you know, do the Ducks miss Will Richardson? Absolutely. But do you have a lot of guys who are at least capable of putting the ball on the floor and trying to make some plays that way, for sure. So I think it's exciting now to think about what things will look like when he's back, because he's just, I mean, he is a really dynamic player with a lot of experience at this level. So it's that's been a fun team to watch so far.
You know, as far as the women, I know it's kind of a general question, and the bench tends to shorten as the season moves along. But with the 5-5 stars, the new faces like Mike Sell, plus the return to health, Niara Sabali and Sedona Prince, with the vets, I just watch this team, and I don't think I'm alone in just astounded how deep and talented this group is.
Yeah, for as good as the team's last couple years have been, I mean, there were some, there, you know, were a fair amount of nights when you felt like there were maybe only seven or eight, you know, players that were going to be available. And now it's, you know, 10, 11, 12, you know, depending on how quickly a couple of those newcomers developed. So it's a different kind of team and a different kind of, you know, game management talent that's going to be required of Kelly Graves to figure out kind of what are the right matchups to seek out and manipulate and find, and kind of who's the hot hand and how long do you ride it, or how long do you let somebody try to shoot themselves through a cold streak, something like that. So that's a good problem to have, though. Their depth is just bananas. One of the best, most encouraging parts right now is seeing just how supportive of each other that team is. I mean, the way that the bench, in lieu of a crowd, is providing energy, at least the home games I've attended, has been really impressive. And so when you've got that many players, yeah, you start to wonder, is everybody going to be happy? Is everyone going to be comfortable, you know, with whatever their role is? And as of right now, I mean, they all seem to be really supportive of each other and on the same page that way.
No, the shots of the bench, even in late games, you know, when the newer players score, it's awesome. It's joyful.
Yep.
I want to talk about Niara, because, you know, you see 6'5 in the women's game and you have a tendency. Oh, you kind of pigeonhole a post player. But getting to see her in game action, soft hands, ability to step out. I talked with Elise Wood Word yesterday, and she called her, said she's got a diverse set like her sister, just a different set. How I know it's early, but man, how you liking the variety in her game?
Yeah, I mean, I think she had, you know, in one of those first couple games, she had a sequence, you know, on I think it was two defensive trips, and an offensive trip where she had a block shot, two rebounds, a steal, 2 points. And maybe even an assist. Maybe there were two offensive possessions in there. But within the space of like a minute and change, she was just filling up the stat sheet. And you know, that's the sort of the thing Satou could do too, because you know, they're so varied in their skills, and their athleticism allows them to do so many different things. And so when you're, you know, big enough in the post to block shots, but also have quick enough hands that you can also get steals. You know, you can see with both Niara and Sedona Prince, the passing ability out of the post is just really impressive. You know, that's not something you always find in a big true post player. So, you know, you can tell, you know, Satu and Niara both, you know, they grew up playing a variety of different roles and not just, oh, you're tall, go stand in the post, we'll give you the ball and hit a layup.
I want to get over to football, and obviously when it comes to coach, there's a lot of speculation. But, you know, I heard Chip Kelly to the NFL, and I was like, that makes sense. Willie Taggart back to Florida, okay. When I heard Gus Malzahn was fired at Auburn and some of the national guys started mentioning Mario Cristobal, so in essence, your take on my take, my first thought was, I don't know why it doesn't sound right. I don't think he's leaving here for there. And there's no way to know, but does that make any sense?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think he's such an accomplished recruiter, and recruiting is such an essential element of being a successful team. You know, in that regard, I get why anybody would want him to be their coach. I mean, he sets such a tenacious tone as a head coach. It's just uncanny. And Joe Moorhead was talking earlier this year about kind of what struck him the most about, you know, his first year on working under Mario, and that's what he said. It's just that to have your head coach set the kind of pace Mario does as a recruiter, you know, is not normal. And so, you know, if any team, and particularly one in the SEC, you know, as competitive as it is for talent there, I understand certainly why somebody would pursue Mario, and I think it's natural to wonder if he'd be interested to getting closer to home too. You know, the natural to think maybe he'd want to take a shot at, you know, the school he used to work at. But I think he knows he's got a really good thing going here too. So that's the good news for Oregon fans.
Yeah, like I said, there's no way to know, but sometimes my gut is truth. And by the way, tenacious tone, isn't that the Jack Black duet?
close.
Talking Duck football with Rob Mosley, GoDucks.com. You know, most of us think about the players and coaches on game day a bit in between, but when you think just last week, got a game Saturday canceled, another one this Saturday changed to Friday, new opponent, classes, can't socialize, there's a pandemic, I think some of us get confused. And how important is it to just acknowledge these incredibly unique challenges all these guys are dealing with just to get on the freaking field?
Yeah, you know, I was struggling a little bit late last week and over the weekend when, you know, there were some critiques of the conference and just how the championship weekend was being set up. And, you know, I think people, you know, things are communicated to schools that aren't always communicated publicly. So some things that might come as a surprise or be new news to the public and feel like it was sprung on the program, you know, might have been discussed, you know, behind the scenes for a couple of weeks. So it's not like people are being, you know, participants are being surprised with some of these plans. But yeah, just the kind of the judgments about how things are being handled and some of the critiques, as if there's a right way to do anything right now. I mean, it's just there isn't. You know, you're just trying to make the best of it and get through this. And so, yeah, I've struggled with some of the judgments and the critiques. Like, you know, give everybody a little bit of a break. People are just trying to navigate through this thing the best they can. Nothing is going to be perfect. You know, this year is always going to, you know, in the history books, 20 years from now, when we're looking back at this, you know, and then we're explaining it to people who didn't live it, we're going to be like, you can't believe what that year was like. Hopefully it will remain an outlier 20 years from now. And, but, you know, we always need to give ourselves a break a little bit and just keep our heads down and get through this and come out the other side.
Yeah, it's not like we could base it on how the coaches handled the 1918 pandemic in the old Pac-4 North or whatever. The Oregon defense has had an interesting year as far as the opposing quarterbacks they faced. We know Stanford and UCLA, the starter had to sit. Washington State, Oregon State were first-time starters. They faced a regular in Garbers at Cal. And – while this might be the easiest analysis ever, but safe to say that in USC's Keaton Slovis, I mean, this guy is just next level and the biggest challenge they'll face.
Yeah, and the targets he's throwing to are just, yeah, next level. I mean, pro guys. I mean, USC's receivers are always good, and this group is a vintage group. I think absolutely there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of key matchups in a championship game like this, but that's definitely the first place my head went is, you know, when you're talking about a secondary that's been a little up and down, trying to move on without Javon Holland and Brady Breeze and Thomas Graham. And try to deal with, you know, absorb those losses, those opt-outs, and keep going. You know, that's been a little bit up and down when you talk about, you know, a pass rush that's, you know, had some successes, but then also been pretty quiet in some times, you know. A passing attack that wants to get the ball out quick like this one, you know, can that pass rush be a factor? I mean, that does feel like kind of the first among equals in terms of matchups that are really going to determine probably how things go Friday.
A couple final thoughts for Rob Mosley, GoDucks.com. I've asked this a few times, but with all the great news about recruiting, the fact that Ducks are the reigning Rose Bowl champs, high preseason national ranking, yet when you think about it, they needed a new quarterback, 5 new linemen. They lost Troy Dye, which I think is immeasurable. You mentioned the 3 studs in the secondary. Perhaps many, self-included, maybe didn't properly gauge the magnitude of what actually had to be replaced. It's hard to say if they were overrated, underrated, but when you kind of add it all up, man, that's substantial.
I totally agree, and I think I was as guilty as anyone, too. The great thing about sports is every year you feel like you have a chance, and you're looking at, hey, there's this question mark and this question mark. And I think universally, all of us as sports fans are guilty prior to a season of being like, well, if that works out and that works out and that works out, we could be pretty good. Because you're a fan, you kind of get lost and you kind of, you know, overlook the what if it doesn't work out, because what fun is that? I think there definitely, you know, that second half against Cal, you're reminded, oh, yeah, you know, Tyler Shuck's never been through this before. You know, it's not going to be a perfect upward trajectory. For a young guy, you know, there might be some blips. After that first couple weeks, you felt like the offensive line was going to move on without, you know, 6 seniors without a blip. Well, no. I mean, again, not just a perfect upward trajectory. And for me, yeah, we ended up, because of the opt-outs on defense, focused on that and not paying enough attention to the fact that Troy Dye just made so many plays around here for 4 years and just the fire that he played with, the passion he played with every day in practice, not just in games, and what kind of a leader he was in that regard. That's a tough hole to fill when he left. And I think for myself, that was the biggest thing that I kind of let other storylines surpass prior to the season is, wait, what's life going to be like without Troy Dye? And that's had a bigger impact than I acknowledged at any point kind of over the summer.
Nope, and I don't think you were alone. As always, great stuff from Rob, editor-in-chief, GoDucks.com. And, of course, on Twitter, if you're all about football, at Duck Football, and the other billion sports he covers, at GoDucks Mosley. Rob, I know there's a lot going on right now. I really appreciate you cutting out some time for us, my friend. Be well, have a great holiday, and as always, look forward to catching up soon.
You as well, yeah. As I keep saying, I can't wait to see you in a press box again in real life one of these days.
Yep.
Hopefully soon.
Simple pleasures, Rob.
Exactly.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Have a good one.
All right, Steve. Bye.